We're going to continue our study in the book of James, our journey through James. It's been such a blessing to study this book, and it's been one that's been on my heart for quite a while. And thought it was time to preach on this. And today we're going to be looking at the topic of every good and perfect gift. And we'll continue our study in this wonderful book. So far in our study, we've looked at verses 1 to 16, and we have received instruction for when we go through trials during our time in this world, which we will go through trials, we will. And the Scripture doesn't tell us how long they will be, as we've seen earlier in the study of this first chapter of the book of James. But one thing we do know is we're going to go through trials, and every one of us will go through them as believers. And they come our way. But let us always remember that when these trials come our way, they come our way according to the divine providence of God. And He's ever watching over us through all these trials and tribulations which we go through. And they prove our faith to be genuine, don't they? They prove our faith to be genuine. And what do they cause us to do ultimately? Ultimately, they cause us to look to Christ. They cause us to look to Him, to look away from ourselves, to look outside ourselves, and to look to He who is our salvation. He who is our wisdom, He who is our righteousness, He who is our sanctification, and He who is our redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they cause us to do, just to cling to Him. Just to cling to Him. Let's read verses 12 to 18 to see the context of our verse today. Today we'll be looking at verse 17. But I'd like us to read the context of verses 12 to 18. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And we saw that that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And here now, James is going to show us where the root cause of our sin is. It's in us. It's in us. Because verse 15 said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Look at this. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the fruit of sin is death. We know the wages of sin is death, but the fruit of sin is death. And then, look at this, it's a warning for us as believers. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now here we go. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And in verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now today we're going to look at how every good and perfect gift comes from above. Comes from above. It comes from the sovereign throne of God. Whether in nature, whether in providence, or whether in grace. And we see this clearly brought forth in verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Where did Christ come from? Well, He came from above, didn't He? And the Father sent Him here. The Scripture says He was manifest to take away our sins. And in Him was no sin. He's the ultimate gift from heaven, isn't He? He's the ultimate gift from above. Because in Him, for the believer, He's all our righteousness, isn't He? He's all our sanctification. He's all our wisdom. And He's all our redemption as well, isn't He? Because outside of Christ, we have no redemption. We have no sanctification. We have no wisdom, just worldly wisdom. He's everything to us. And we have no righteousness without Christ. Because our righteousness is like filthy rags. in the eyes of the Lord. But in Christ, we have everything. All spiritual blessings are wrapped up in Him. All spiritual blessings, any spiritual blessings we have, are in Christ and Him alone. And they flow out to the sinner from the Father. They flow out from the Father through Christ to the sinner, to the born-again, blood-washed saint of God. And it all comes about by God's sovereign, almighty grace. And again, we see that in verses 13 to 16, we are to take full blame for our sin. It comes from us. It comes from within. And then what are we to do? We're to ascribe all glory and honor and praise to the one who saved us, who's outside of us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's why Brother Scott Richard used to say, we look out from ourselves and we look above to Christ. We do, don't we? He's our only hope, beloved. We have no hope outside of Christ. And then it says, every good gift and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. You know, the psalmist said this, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Mercy of God flows from above, doesn't it? Comes down to us in Christ. And then we glorify God. We glorify God for saving us from all our sins. Now, some people in their ignorance will charge God with their sin. And let me make this clear that when we sin, that sin in no way originates in God. It comes from our own depraved heart. We saw that in last week's study, didn't we? And James wrote this to distinguish between the trials of faith, temptations into which all believers fall that are sent from God with the intent and design and result of bringing us to fix our hearts and minds upon Christ and Him alone. That's what these things are designed to do. To drive us to Christ, beloved. To drive us to Christ. And beloved of God, men both saved and lost are incapable of rationally embracing the concept of God's absolute sovereignty. We believe it. But do we really grasp it? No. He's in absolute control, beloved. And men, both saved and lost, have difficulty in rationalizing that God is in control of all things, and yet we are held accountable for our own temptations to sin. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. My, oh my. Man's without excuse, beloved. Man's without excuse. Romans chapter 9, verses 15 to 20. For he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. That's God above saying that. So if God's had mercy on you, it's come from above, beloved. And it's come in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's His precious blood that's redeemed your eternal soul. And the faith that we have to look to Christ is a gift from God too, isn't it? That comes from above too, beloved. The regenerating power of the Holy Spirit comes from above too. God gets all the glory, beloved. But look at this. Put yourself in there. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Well, that's me. He had mercy on me. Each one of us can say that. He's had compassion upon me. Wonder of wonders, God Almighty's done this. For he saith, Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth. Look at that. It's not of our will. Because our natural will is to run away from God. So Scripture says, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Where's that mercy come from? It comes from above, beloved. It comes from above. It comes from the Father. Unmerited, undeserved mercy. Mercy. It's glorious. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, now here's an example, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. It's still being declared, isn't it? We still read about the story about Moses and Pharaoh. We still read it. We're still in awe. I'm as much in awe of how he parted that Red Sea and let those Israelites walk through it. Actually, the more I think about it, the more I get wound up about it. It's true for you too, right? Because we've seen God's sovereign work in our lives. That same power that parted that Red Sea is the same power that regenerated us, beloved. Same power. My, oh my, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he hath mercy. If you're one of his people, that's you. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. And whom he will, he hardeneth. He just leaves them where they are. Aren't you glad? Oh, praise God, he didn't leave us where we were. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he had it, we would never have known him. Oh my, what mercy. What mercy. Where'd that mercy come from, beloved? Come from above, didn't it? Come from above. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Is there anyone who's resisted the will of God? Well, man likes to say they do. I'll tell you what. You ask one of God's sheep if you can resist the will of God. Because we were going that way and he turned us around and made us go that way. Didn't he? No one can resist the will of God. No one can thwart the will of God. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are we, animated dust, to reply against our great God and King? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So when you do a project, say you do a project in your home, does the project say, why'd you make me this? No. No. Not at all. Not at all. And this is in the context of the potter and the clay. You know, that potter, I've watched guys, I did it when I was a kid, but I've watched those master potters of, oh my, they just take that clay and just, it's incredible what they can do with that. Form it into whatever they want it and they put it over there. Does that thing that formed there say, hey, you made me a bowl. I didn't want to be a bowl. No, not at all. It's clay. It's been molded into whatever the master has wanted it to be molded into. Rejoice. Rejoice if you're a child of God. He has had mercy upon you and me in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? He's had compassion upon us, beloved. He's had mercy upon us. Has he rewarded us according to our sins? No, not at all. Not at all. Because, and how do we know that he's not rewarded us according to our sins? Because if God would mark iniquity, none would stand. But oh my, what great mercy. And God deals with his people. God deals with his people, not according to our sins, but he deals with his people in Christ. In Christ and him alone. The one who is full of grace. The one who's full of truth. The one who's God incarnate in the flesh. And then he loves us so much that he robes us in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. It's imputed to us. Our sins are imputed to Christ and the sinless one, right? And his righteousness is imputed to us. It's wondrous. And where did all this grace and mercy come from? It came from above, beloved. It came from above. And And we are now clothed in the spotless righteousness of Christ. Oh, praise God, He doesn't deal with us according to our sinfulness or our iniquity. We cannot look at one thing that God has done for us, whether He bestowed upon us great grace and mercy or sent temptations or trials of our faith. We cannot say that one of those tempted us to sin. Because when we sin, it comes from within. It comes from within. So, beloved of God, do not err. It's the evil in us that causes us to sin. It's our flesh. And we're saved sinners, right? That's all we are right now. Saved sinners. And remember that this is a statement in verse 17 and 18 in opposition to the origin of the temptation to sin, which we see in verses 13 and 14. Sin comes from within us, but look at verses 17 and 18. In contrast to that, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So he's drawing a contrast here for us in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So take note, these good gifts come from God, all according to his sovereign will and his sovereign purpose. They're not merited by us, are they? We don't deserve these gifts. We don't earn these gifts. No, they come to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're given to us. They're given to us by God, and we're simply receivers of that gift. When someone gives you a gift, you're just a receiver of that gift, aren't you? Sometimes people give you gifts just because they want to give you a gift. Nothing you've done. They just want to give you a gift. Oh. Well, see, God gives us the gift of salvation in and through Christ, and there's nothing we did to deserve it. As a matter of fact, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. But God doesn't mark our iniquity because it's being satisfied. The law's demand for our sin has been satisfied in and through the Lord Jesus Christ by the shedding of His precious, precious blood. And then when He rose from the grave, right? That was proof that God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. And these are good and perfect gifts. Again, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Gift in our text is a generic term that's non-specific. So we can be sure that if it's good and perfect, no matter what it is, it's from above. It's from above. It's spiritual and therefore has nothing to do with the flesh. It has nothing to do with the flesh. And because of our flesh, we're not able to discern good and perfect gifts by looking at ourselves. Therefore, this knowledge turns our eyes to Christ. Turns our eyes to Christ. Turns our affection to Him, and we become fixed there. We become fixed. Now what would religion do? Well, religion would have you look to yourself. That's what religion does. It has you look to yourself to find some gift or talent. But if you search there until the end of time, you'd find nothing. Brother Tim James brings this forth. If you do find something looking to yourself, then you're in real trouble. Then you're in real trouble. The giving of the gift is found in the unspeakable gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:32 says this, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? My, oh my. Every good and perfect gift comes in and through the Lord Jesus Christ from the Father. Turn, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. So the origin of this good and perfect gift spoken of in our verse today is from God, from above, from the Father, from Jehovah. And it comes to we who are the beloved brethren from who He is called the Father of lights. The Father of lights. Look at verse 17 again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look at this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And we'll read to verse 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. Remember over in our text, He's called the Father of lights. That God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. No sin. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, the believer walks in Christ now, don't we? We don't walk in darkness anymore. We walk in Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And here it is, in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, what? Cleanses us from how many sins? Hallelujah. All sin. All of it. All of it. Praise be to God. Then look at chapter 2 of 1 John. Look at verses 7 to 9. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. So the light of which John wrote of here was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen with our eyes, he said, John said, we've seen. Remember, John was an eyewitness. He saw the Lord and he heard the Lord. He handled. He's the one who laid his head on the breast of Christ. And the Father of lights in our text is a description of God pertaining to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Light, the gospel, is the only understanding that a human being can have concerning God. If God has revealed Christ to you through the gospel, that's a revelation. Because natural man has no clue who God is. We can have no understanding of God outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, there's no knowledge of God. No matter how much a person tells you he's got degrees or he's learned this and that, outside of Christ, we cannot know God. And look at these wonderful words. Every good and perfect gift is from above in James chapter 1, verse 17. Then consider that our blessed Savior came from above. He came from above. Why did He come? To save Wayne Boyd from his sins. Put your name in there. To save Wayne Boyd. Praise be to God. Put your name in there. That's why He came. It's wonderful. It's amazing grace. And think that our salvation is from above, and it's 100% dependent upon God. Our salvation from beginning to end. And I want us to think upon this. Our salvation from beginning to end. There's nothing to do with us. We're just receivers, remember? Our salvation from beginning to end is of the Lord. It's of Him. When He saves us, and He keeps us, doesn't He? And remember, He's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So our names, now let this sink in. Our names were engraved in the palms of the Lord's hand from eternity. We're ever set before Him, the Scripture says. That's something to think about, isn't it? My, oh my. Something for us to think of. So turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. Our salvation, again, is 100% dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save a chosen people. When did He choose those people? In eternity. Scripture says He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, planned and purposed by God. And where was He when He planned and purposed all this? Above? Isn't it amazing? Oh, it's wondrous, isn't it? Look at this in John chapter 3. Look at verses 13 to 15. A lot of people like to quote John 3:16 all the time, but they forget to quote the verses before it. Look at this. John 3, verses 13 to 15. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Well, that's talking about Christ. Every good gift comes from above, doesn't it? Let's talk about Christ. Come down from where? Where did He come down from? From heaven. Even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So we can't ascend up to heaven on our own. But He came down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember? All who look to that serpent shall live, right? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then we know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. But look at the clause, that whosoever believeth in Him, do you believe in Him? Has He given you faith to believe in Him? Well, praise God, because that come from above, beloved. That come from above. And then the new birth comes from above. Look at the same chapter here. Look at verses 3 to 8. So, regeneration, the new birth, to be born again, comes from above as well. Look what the Lord said here in verses 3 to 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a statement there, isn't it? Doesn't matter how good a person thinks they are. Doesn't matter about what they've done in their lives. You must be born again. You must be born again. That's from the Master's lips. And then look at verses 6 to 8. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Where's the Spirit come from? Above. He's sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, right? To be our comforter. To be the comforter of His people. Hallelujah. So, beloved of God, the righteousness that justifies us is also from above. Because Christ is our righteousness. And we saw there He came down from heaven. In John chapter 3, verse 13. But He that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Oh, He's gone back up now. He come down. He did the work the Father sent Him to do, right? Manifested to take away our sins. Hallelujah. And in Him was no sin. And He completed the work. Now He's back up with the Father again. So His high priestly prayer in John 17 has been answered, isn't it? Oh, it's wondrous, beloved. So all our righteousness comes from Christ, and it comes from above. It comes from above. Remember that all spiritual gifts we have come from the Father of lights, comes down to us, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, right? He's the light of the world. But man loved darkness, don't they? And we were there. We can't say, well, look at those sinners. No, we're just saved sinners. And we were there. I was there in that darkness. I know you were too. And we loved that darkness at that time, didn't we? Until the Lord regenerated us, now we hate the darkness. We hate sin in ourselves more than anywhere else. My. But man loved darkness rather than light. Therefore, you know what? Therefore, we must be... If man loves darkness rather than light, which we do in our natural state, then we must be made willing. We must be made willing. Because otherwise, we'd stay in that which we love. We must be made willing. Praise God, He makes us willing in the day of His power, doesn't He? Can anyone resist the will of God? No one. No one. No one at all. So we have assurance here that no gift that comes from God will ever cause us to sin or be able to charge God with sin. No, never. He's the giver of all good and perfect gifts, beloved. And He will never give the believer anything but good and perfect gifts. With Him is no possibility, no hint, no shadow of variableness, it says, which means no shadow of turning. Oh my, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So thanks be to God that He does not charge us with our sin. There is never a shade or an appearance of charge of our sin because Christ paid it all. And praise God that He doesn't change. He doesn't change. And the fact that He doesn't change makes our salvation in Christ sure, right? Because He's God in the flesh. He doesn't change at all. There's no appearance change in God. Not in His person, not in His purpose, or in His promises. And God's method of salvation has not changed. See, modern religion thinks it's changed. Eh? Come here and do this. Do this and God will save you. Do that and God will save you. Well, the scripture we read said God has compassion on whom He will have compassion, right? And it also said the Holy Spirit blows where it wills. Were you looking for Christ when He saved you? I don't care if you were in a church or not. Were you looking for Christ when He saved you? And we may have known things if we were at church, but boy, when He arrested us and gave us salvation and faith in Him, our whole world changed, didn't it? Oh my. Praise God, though, He doesn't change. And God's method of salvation does not change. And it will never change. Salvation is of the Lord. And salvation is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. And God is determined to save sinners only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, the Creator and the Preserver of all things, is eternally the same. And He dispenses His good and perfect gifts according to His sovereign will. Now let that sink in. If He does that according to His sovereign will, then it was according to His sovereign will that we were saved. Oh my, it makes you want to shout, doesn't it? Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. And time and eternity will not alter what a blessing it is to know that we who are the born-again, blood-washed people of God are secure in Christ forever. We are secure in Him forever. Forever. Because God doesn't change, beloved. How do I know this to be true? How do I know God loves His children so much? Because in Micah it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Praise be to God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father. And God will make application in our hearts, in the hearts of His covenant people, as salvation is a heart work. It's conducted and controlled by God the Holy Spirit. If you're saved and born again, that operation of the new birth was controlled and conducted by God Almighty. And He took the things of Christ and made them real to us, didn't He, as He revealed Himself and saved us by His precious, precious grace. But this is all planned out in eternity, all purposed in eternity. My, oh my. Our salvation, our regeneration, our sanctification, our daily cares, and how He watches over every single one of His people. Knowing these things, let we who are the people of God ascribe Him all glory, honor, and praise for the goodness and the mercy and the grace which we have received from above, from Jehovah, from above,